Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, a place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, Intercessory Prayer, the Courtship of Possibilities and Promises.
Let's read. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Continue.
Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? Then God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just,
and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witness. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Let us pray. Father, we just glorify you this morning. We exalt you. We make you the highest and most important thing in this moment. We thank you, Lord God, for being in this place, for loving us so much that you met us here, Father. You declared where two or three would be gathered in your name, there you would be, Father. We thank you, Lord God, for the praise and the worship that has gone forth, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that the hearts are ready to receive your word, Father. That we are all ready to get our marching orders, Father, and take up the mantle of intercession. We thank you, Lord God, for meeting us here, for giving us a word that is applicable for day-to-day living. We ask, Lord God, that you cover this meeting of your people with your grace, that you go and you minister to every single person that's sitting here in expectation, that you allow us to feel your presence even as we are speaking, even as we are listening and taking notes, whether they're in here in this room, Lord God, or connected via Facebook or any other medium, Lord God, we ask that your spirit be there, Father. You have proven over the last couple of weeks, Lord God, that even through the foolishness of technology, your spirit can go wherever it wants to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So everyone here and everyone tuning in, we ask that you give them a visitation, that they would know that they experienced you. Hallelujah. We thank you. We honor you. We glorify your name. And it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. You may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. It feels really good in this place. The topic of today's message is the courtship, intercessory prayer, the courtship of possibilities and promises. Intercessory prayer, the courtship of possibilities and promises. Our pastor is beginning a series on prayer, and a lot of people see prayer as just prayer, but there are two forms of prayer. There is when I pray and I just talk to God. That's the basic form of prayer. And then there's intercession, where our focus is outwardly driven. Our perspective is outwardly driven. We're not praying about ourselves and our stuff anymore. We're praying about the things that are on the heart of God. Amen. So in order to understand how intercessory prayer is the courtship of promises and possibilities, let us define a couple of terms. The first term is courtship. Courtship is to seek to gain or achieve, or to act so as to invite or provoke. Okay? It's seeking to gain or achieve, to act so as to invite or provoke. Intercession is the intervening of another, on another's behalf, by interposing oneself between two parties and their difficulties or crises, usually by prayer, but also by means of aid, arbitration, or mediation. Intercession is the courtship of outward focus results from the one who is able to provide. Okay. Intercession is the courtship of outward focus results from the one who is able to provide, who is God, right? Intercession is the humbling acknowledgement of our insufficiency. And as people, there's a part of us that wants to be self-sufficient. We want to figure it out. If there's a problem, we want to fix it, right? My husband, if I'm having a situation, like I'm on a vent, I have to tell him beforehand, babe, I don't want you to fix this situation. I want you to just hear me. Because immediately once I tell him the problem, his natural inclination is to fix it and tell me what I need to do. I don't need that all the time, okay? I just need you to hear me. Let me get it out. Sometimes I need you to just pray for me and not talk to me about it anymore. But that's our, as humans, that is our nature. We see something broken, we want to fix it. We see someone hurting, the compassion that God has given us in our hearts wants to fix it, wants to make it better. But intercession is the humbling acknowledgement that we can't fix everything by ourselves. We can't. We can't even fix ourselves, let alone other people. Right? And we're not self-sufficient. That's a lie from the enemy. We cannot do this life by ourselves. People have tried and they have failed to live life without God. And so intercession is the humbling acknowledgement of that fact. That God, if there's any victory in my life, if there's any way for this situation to change, it has to come from you, right? Even if I'm a part of the plan for that to happen, the plan has to come from God. Amen. So the courtship we're seeking to gain and achieve through intercession, to invite and provoke possibilities and promises. The problem with many, and as I was talking to God about this, I was like, okay, intercession is the, you know, that's cute, right? Why is it that we don't see a whole lot, or we don't, in our own perspective, see a whole lot of possibilities and promises? Like, why is it not happening like it did in the Bible days, right? And God told us that he promised us that we would do greater things that he would do while we were on earth, that he was the basis of the leaping pad of where we were going to be going. It's kind of funny. God would say the problem with many people's intercessions is that they have no gain. Have you ever had someone try to approach you, to court you, or date you, and they had no gain? Let that sink in. Corny, right? You got no gain. Your approach is wrong, right? And God said, if people are going to have intercession, if intercession is going to provoke something or court possibilities and promises, we need to up our game. Some of us have no game. We come to God and we got our list out of what we want him to do. How many of us want somebody to come to us first day and be like, look, I need dinner every night and clean clothes. I want them pressed and ironed. This is second date. I want them pressed and ironed. I like my clothes pressed and hung up after you. This is how I want you to do things when we are together. No game. You're done. Okay? You're lucky to make it till the bill comes. But we do God that way. We get into his presence and immediately we start telling him what we want. We don't praise him. It's hard for us to lift a hand, okay? If don't let us had a rough day with the kids and at work, we just like, look, I'm just gonna lay here and you can take that for what it is. No game. No game. And if we're going to court, if we're going to invoke the promises and to invite the promises and the possibilities, we need to up our game. We need to up our game as it pertains to God, because God is the one that has the promises. He's the one that we're courting. The promises and the possibilities come with him. So when my husband was courting me, he got a wife, he got a mother, he got a cook, he got a laundry technician. He got all that wrapped up inside of me, but he didn't come to me courting the cook. He didn't come to me courting the laundry technician. He didn't come to me. Everything that came with me just came with me. But he courted me, right? He proved that he loved me. He didn't ask me for much. He just wanted to be with me. And that's the way we have to be with God. And sometimes God wonders if just being with him is enough. Or does he have to do something else? Does he have to perform a trick? Every time we get together, do I have to make you laugh? Every time we go on a date, do I have to do a trick? Do I have to impress in some kind of way? Or can we just be together? Can you court me and we just be together? We just have fun together? We just hang out together? We just love on one another? God clearly told me our approach is inconsistent sometimes, and sometimes it's just wrong. It's incorrect. So how can we provoke promises and possibilities, and we're not courting the one that provides them in the correct manner, but yet we're expecting him to put out? We don't want to commit. We just want him to give. Just give me, just give me, just give me. When things are going good, I go on about my business. When there's a crisis, I'll come to church and I'll get on the altar. Just give me, just give me, just give me. Give me what you have. I want what you have. Give me what you have. That's what I want. And God is saying, what about me? Can you just love me for me? I know about the possibilities. I know about the stuff you need me to do. I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. I knew it before you were formed in your mother's belly. I knew all this stuff was going to happen, but can we just be together? Can you just court me? Can you love me? Can you pour your love out on me? The possibilities and the promises will come, but we need to up our game. When we don't show up when we say we're going to, or we only show up when others are around, what does that say to God about how we feel about him? God tells us he needs us up at 3:30 in the morning, or 4 o'clock in the morning, or 4:30 in the morning. We say, yes, we're going to do it, and then we don't show up. What does that say? If me and you are supposed to meet and hang out and you don't show up, don't text me, what does that say about how you feel about me? Or we only show up when the church calls it and people are going to be around to witness that we showed up. What does that say about God and our feeling about him and our relationship with him? When we only show up when there's a party, we come and play the girlfriend and the boyfriend when there's other people around, but when it's just me and you, I might show up, I might not. I might give, I might not. I might worship, I might not. Our prayer life is spotty at best. We read our word maybe once a week. What does that say? That the only time we get together with God is when there's others around. And when he's the only one expecting us, we're inconsistent. That's a whack game. That is no game to court any person, let alone the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that provides breath in our bodies, the ones that keep our bodies functioning correctly, the one that laid the stars in the sky, the one that cares enough about us to know to count the numbers on our head. And we treat him like that. But we want signs, we want wonders, we want miracles, we want people saved. We have to court it. We have to court possibilities. We have to court the promises. Indirectly, but directly, we have to court the one that is able. We have to court God. We have to entertain him correctly. Amen? Amen. It is impossible to court true possibilities and promises without first courting God. That's what we just said. You might court some stuff that parades like success, promises, and possibilities, but if it isn't provided by God, then there will be an unholy cost associated with it. It's the gift of God that adds no sorrow. The true victory can only come from God. And so we see, especially in our culture where we're a very capitalistic, materialistic culture in America, and seemingly those that have more are happier, are more successful. If you have a bigger car, if you have a bigger house, if you have so much money, then you are seen by our culture as a success. But what was the cost to get it, right? What did you have to court? Who did you have to court to get that success? That is the determination if it came from God. If you had to compromise, if you had to back up, if you had to be small, I submit to you that that's not true success. That's the only success that costs too much. Amen? All right. Point number one. Courtship tip number one. Connect with others who have the same mission and passion. Intercession is not meant to be isolating. Intercession is not meant to be isolating. And so Jesus, before he left and was ascended, he got called together as his apostles, and he breathed into them, and he sent them out. There were two together, Peter and John. Peter and John went together. It is very, very important that we don't allow our call to intercession to isolate us away from people, because things can become weird when you're by yourself. Okay, you need someone that you can touch and agree with, someone that is just as passionate about intercession as you are, or even in the vein of intercession, someone that feels God pulling them towards the same topics, the same areas. You need to find that you cannot stand alone in this thing. Amen? Amen? Matthew 18 and 19 told us where two or three of us gather, where we touch and agree on things, he would do it. So he needs us to be connected with someone like-minded, someone that can help push us, someone that can make sure that we're up when we say that we're going to be up, someone that can hold us accountable for the things that we say that we're going to do for God. Just like in a regular courtship, you need to have someone that has your back, that can tell you when you're going too far, that can tell you when you're out of bounds, that can tell you the things that you need to know to be successful. And if we try to isolate ourselves, that is a really, really, really dangerous place to be, because you're out there by yourself, right? You can get the Elijah complex. Oh, and it's not even like that, partner, like, you tripping. You need someone to tell you, you tripping. No, that wasn't God. Where's that in the Bible? Let's fact check that. We need accountability. But sometimes we don't want accountability. We want to just go. right? We want to just go, we want to hear stuff, and we want to just act on it. The Bible tells us in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. So courtship tip number one, we need to connect with others who have the same mission and passion. Intercession was never and is never meant to be isolating. There are times where you will be alone. There are times Jesus had to go off by himself and seek the Lord by himself, but he always returned to his crew, right? He always returned to his crew to do the work. Amen? Also, like in 1 John 4, it tells us to test every spirit, and you need people around you that can test the things that you hear. You need people around you that, because when you get into the vein of intercession where you're praying and you're seeking God and you are engaging the spirit realm, there are a lot of things that are there that are speaking and talking, and you need someone that can say, okay, I hear that. I don't know about that. We need to pray about that. So you need that partnership. Amen? Number two, tip number two. It's not enough to be empowered to be the encounter. We must recognize the moment when it presents itself. It's not enough to be empowered. Peter and John were empowered when Jesus was ascending. He breathed into them. He empowered the apostles to go into the world and make disciples of men. They were already empowered. But if you're empowered and you're not recognizing the moments of impact, what is it for? What are we empowered for? What are we supposed to be doing? That takes a certain level of focus and a certain level of discipline to not allow your world and your life to get so crazy and hectic and busy that you miss the moments. And it's easy to miss moments. It is easy to miss moments trying to make lunches. It's easy to miss moments trying to get to work on time. It's easy to miss moments trying to get to church on time. We look in here, Peter and Paul were on their way to church to pray. Sounds about right? But a lot of people were on their way to church to pray. And this man had been laying there daily, was being laid there daily. And people were passing him going to church. And our pastor has been talking about prophetic evangelism. And people were passing this man to go to church. Missing the moment. Missing the encounters. Missing the possibilities and the promises that were available in that moment. The apostles had already walked with Jesus. They had left everything to follow him and stood as he breathed into them in John 20 and 22. They were empowered and sent out. Peter and John walked with Jesus and were used to witnessing encounters. They witnessed encounters with him over years of seeing him do mighty and wonderful things. But at some point, they had to move from being passive witnesses to being active participants. And we come to church. And we see the spirit get high, and we witness amazing things happening all around us. Chains being broken, lives being changed, people being delivered, and we applaud it, and we praise for it. But at some point, we have to then take on the mantle and the responsibility that now I can go into wherever God has sent me and do the same thing. Our jobs as intercessors is to represent what Christ has already done. He's already done it. He's already laid the foundation. He's already given us examples. Our job is to redo those, right? To be fruitful, to multiply, to redo and represent to the world Jesus. That means everything Jesus did, we should be doing. Jesus cast out devils. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus raised the dead. Jesus called order where there was no order. Jesus calmed storms. Jesus brought peace. We should be doing those things as intercessors. Amen? Amen. One reason it seems difficult, and I ask God, you know, there are situations where you can feel the nudge, but there's so many things that fight that nudge. Am I the only one? Thank you for being honest. There's there's times that we feel the nudge to speak, to pray, to get outside our box, to take a chance. But then there's so many things around that's fighting that nudge. The time, I got somewhere to go. Got to get to church, okay? How's he going to receive what I'm about to say? I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to be saying in the moment. They didn't say there was that Jesus had notified them that when you get to the temple, there's going to be a lame man, and this is what I want you to say to him, and this is what's going to happen. There's a chance. You're taking a chance. You're taking a chance when you open your mouth and you step out there. What's going to happen? Right? The fear of the unknown. If I open my mouth and they cuss me out, I don't know. I'm going to be embarrassed in front of Sam's if he cussed me out in the parking lot. I don't know. It's definitely a chance. So when we don't, it's difficult to muster up the courage to be the encounter if we lack time with God. Time with God curves that, okay? Time with God curves that because you know him. You know him. You know what he's going to do. You know what he's saying. You hear his voice. So when you feel the nudge, your confidence isn't in you. It's in the fact that God's with you. Amen. But when we lack that time with him and we know that our relationship with him is not what it's supposed to be, when it goes time to open that mouth, we're going to shut it back up. Okay? That's like trying to have a game night and you know you and your spouse are not. Y'all not. Okay, like you don't invite people into that space. Okay, it's terrible. Okay, you do not invite people into your space when you and your spouse are not seeing eye to eye, because there ain't no telling what's gonna pop off, and you're gonna be embarrassed. Okay, you're gonna be embarrassed. So that hinders a lot. So when our relationship, we need to start with our relationship. Our courtship of our possibilities must start with taking responsibility for being in the encounter, but in that, taking responsibility for our walk with Christ. We must make sure that we are daily, our minds are daily being transformed, that we are daily accepting the empowerment that God is giving us to be the encounters. Daily, he loads us with benefits. Not on Sundays, not just on Tuesday nights, to take home daily. Every day we wake up, he gives us what we need.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.